It's a gospel on the radio talk show. A show about dreams and visions and a church that is indeed triumphant, alive, and well.
For the church, triumphant, is alive and well.
Hello, Tallahassee. This is the Gospel on the Radio talk show. I'm Pastor Jack King. I am your host. And, well, it's Sunday morning. And I always enjoy just spending the time with you here on 94.1 with a radio broadcast. As I say, this is a show about dreams and visions and a church triumphant, alive and well. Show number 1,172 today. We have a few rules. We don't talk sports, politics, or doctrine, but we do always speak well of one another, and that's worked out real well. And I am just happy to have with me a gentleman that I've met. I've told the folks on the Saturday Night Gospel singing, I think maybe I mentioned on this show about a singing that takes place down in Woodville. Now, I've heard about it for years, but I usually go over to the American Legion on the first Sunday of the month, but that has kind of been put on hiatus, and I got to get my fix. So I said, let me go down to Woodville and see what that's like.
Sure.
And so I went down and had a wonderful time. And I met Pastor Steve Montgomery, who is the pastor of the Woodville Church and the Wakulla Methodist Church. Brother Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's a
pleasure.
It's always good to meet folks who are in the ministry and people who love the Lord, love to share the word. And I love people that when I ask them to come on the radio show, they don't hesitate. Now, we had a little trouble with the communication, but that's not unusual at all.
It's all right.
When you do a show like this every week, you're tracking people down all the time because that's just what you do. And I've learned, don't let it sweat you. Anyway, so you are pastoring two churches. You just didn't have enough to do?
No, I just had a little extra time. I had a little bit extra time to do with things, and I thought, let me see if I can do this part-time pastoring as the way it was presented to me.
Uh-huh.
That's a lie. There is no such thing as a part-time pastor.
No.
And but I started about 3 years ago doing it like this, and I could tell everybody it's the greatest job in the whole wide world. And I mean, I truly mean that.
Yeah.
You know, because I get to talk the word.
Yeah. And the people, from what I've seen, seem to really love you. I have not been to the Wakulla Church. I can't speak for them. But well, just what I've seen.
They tell me they love me.
Do they?
So at least, you know, that's a good thing. So, yes.
Now, you kind of went into ministry later in life.
Yeah.
As many.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Tell us what happened there.
First of all, I need to give a plug for that second Sunday sing that you were talking about, because Barbara will kill me if I don't, okay? And that is that it's every second Sunday at the Woodville United Methodist Church,
right?
And it's at 6 o'clock, and we have a just Southern gospel, just a little bit of just traditional gospel, just lots of music, great music.
Yeah.
And we have it, we've been having it now for, they're in their 16th year.
That's amazing.
Of doing this every Sunday and every second Sunday. And then after that, we even feed you for free.
Yeah.
So, and it's a great time for fellowship and a great time again to talk God.
Yeah.
But,
And Sister Barbara was on the show. She came, she came and she talked about it and told us about it. And I just applaud her.
Oh, yeah.
Because her and a friend had the vision.
Yep.
And they followed that through. And to me, anytime somebody does that, that's just a blessing.
I love it just because too many times we do it, pastors do it, everybody have these great ideas.
Uh-huh.
And they're great ideas, but they just sort of fall there. They just sort of fall down and they just lay there.
Right.
And we don't do anything with them. And then we say to ourselves, well, that didn't work. Well, what did you think? You know?
But, see, this is what I found about ministry. You have people, you want to have passion. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you've got somebody in your church and they've got a passion for something, let them run with it.
Exactly.
And as long as it doesn't do something weird or something like that. But now, if they come to you and they say, well, Pastor Steve, I think we ought to, and that means you ought to, well, there's only so much that you can take of that.
Yeah.
And so if you got somebody that's got the passion and they're willing to work it, and then, man, just sit back and say, thank the Lord for that.
Absolutely.
And she's got the passion.
She does.
And her passion not only is it to say, well, it's something that's emotional. No, she puts work behind it because they prepare these meals and she has to arrange with the groups and there's all kinds.
She's got those groups lined up for like 3, 4, 5 months down the road.
Yeah.
You know? And it's amazing.
Yeah.
And you are right, though. Too many times. And I might have been accused every now and then. I might have been accused every now and then of saying or not being able or incapable to say no. So both churches have been working with me really hard about telling me, say no. Just say no. We'll tell you to be somewhere at a certain time. You don't have to do anything.
Right.
And I love that. It's just amazing. But
well, now how long have you actually been in the ministry now since you started?
Well, just pastoring about and did some part-time stuff before. So we'll say about 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's a good time to learn that word no. or you always just kind of put it back on the people and say, look, I'm good with that. How are you going to do it?
There you go.
You know, and
you
then if they can articulate it, then you feel like that they have the ability and to do it and not make a big mess out of it, then give them the rope.
I agree.
And let them go.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the thing about it is that you want people like that in your church. You want people who are passionate about things and to carry on things like that. You want them.
Yeah. Otherwise, you're the only member of the church right there, you know,
exactly.
And that's not going to work out very well.
And the other thing is that as pastors, well, most pastors do, they come and go.
Yeah.
And the congregation is going to be there. And those be, so you say, you've heard the expression, they say, well, that's Pastor Steve's church. And people say that, that's Pastor King's church. I say, well, sometimes I take the problem to, or the trouble to correct them, and sometimes I just let it go. But the truth of the matter is that I didn't get down across for anybody.
It's God's church. Yeah. That's what it is.
And so it's not my church.
Yeah.
I'm here to serve, just like the congregation's here to serve.
Absolutely.
And find out what is your passion, what are your talents and your abilities, are you willing to put those into the work of the kingdom. That's all a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
But now,
it truly is.
So you technically are referred to as a lay pastor.
That's correct. A lay supply pastor.
Now, this is Methodist and people who understand how the Methodist works.
Correct.
I know a little. I know Methodist pastors and stuff.
Right.
And every organization has their different systems.
Hierarchy that sort of.
Yeah, some churches have what they call a call. Like my church, I'm called, and then the congregation will decide. Some organizations, the organization will send a pastor, and they'll be there for a certain number of years.
Right.
And so in the Methodist church, like many of the churches now have come to the point to where finding more and more difficult to have pastors. Mm-hmm. And so they're turning to lay leaders.
Yes,
and,
they are.
I think that's just tremendous that people at an older age will go into the ministry. So how old were you when you first started?
62, 63, really? Something like that.
Well, and you said 4 years of actually pastoring. But I guess you said you were teaching Sunday
school. Well, teaching Sunday school.
Yeah, you were doing all those sort of things before.
That's been 10 years before that. So I was in my early 50s, we'll say.
Okay.
And started out from there. And again, it was just accidental. It really, truly was. Well, let me rephrase that. I thought it was accidental.
Right. No.
Apparently, God had a better plan.
I understand what you're saying. Yes.
So, but it became something. It actually started where I worked.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it just sort of rolled with it. I filled in for the pastor at the Wakulla Church when they were off for different things, and that's just what I did. And I always filled in the first Monday or the first Sunday in January. Because usually the pastors, after Christmas and all that, they just took that first week off.
Yeah.
And it also so happened all the district superintendents would go around and visit the churches on that first Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And I got to meet them all that way. So, it was just something I did, and I really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
I can ask my wife, I can talk to a stump. I can't. But then it bled over into work, and customers would say,
Wait. You bet your work. What is this?
All right. I ran at the time when that was going on, I worked for Circle K. Well, I actually worked for Kangaroo Stores first.
Okay.
They got bought out by Circle K, but that's where I worked, right there in Woodville.
Okay.
And, they would come and they would ask me, say things to me like, hey, preach, how you doing? And it just became a thing with that they would do.
Customers well, who knew you were a preacher?
Some of the people would come in and they had either been to the church down there or somebody told them, yeah, that's my pat. That's the guy that did the sermon I told you about or yeah. whatever.
On the first Sunday of the year, right?
Yeah. So they would come in and they would talk to me like that. And then it got to the point where they would ask me to pray for them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and even teaching Sunday school, saying a prayer and things like that. But then when somebody comes and asks you to pray for them,
uh-huh.
and you're right there in the store, and it came to the point where we would just stop what we were doing, everybody in the store, customers and all, and they would just bow their heads
really?
While I'm praying for this person for something that was going on in their life. And then it just got bigger. But
wow.
the company, I have to say that the people that I worked for, my immediate supervisor at that time, he was great with it. He said, just do it. You know, he says, who am I to tell you right. not to help them out spiritually?
Right.
You
right.
know, so that's what it is.
Yeah.
And it went from there to, I just enjoyed it so much.
Uh-huh.
And, I took over roles in the church, council chairman, different things like that at the church council and all these different things. And I started filling in more often.
Now, were you raised in church?
Nope. Well, Catholic.
Okay.
I was okay. raised Catholic.
So there's a story here. How did the transition make?
Well, first you have to, without getting into too big a deal, I will tell you that I love my dad and I love my mom. My okay. dad was married 5 times.
Okay.
My mom, the same.
Okay.
So with every time somebody got remarried, we went from Catholic to Christian to First Baptist Church to, you know, each
okay,
one.
Okay.
But it just came that way, more influenced by my grandfather. He was Southern Baptist.
Okay.
And he was as big as a mountain and big, tall guy, white hair. And I never heard him raise his voice. He was just a calm man and he loved the Lord. And he answered questions to me that had to be awkward when a little grandchild is asking you as a grandfather. And he answered them in such a Christian way that made me want to know more.
Wow. Wow.
And, you know, yeah. and he just did that. And that started it. Uh-huh. And then I met the love of my life, the woman who saved my life.
Uh-huh.
We've been married about 25 years now. So I'm sorry, 27 years. I'm going to be in trouble now.
Yeah, you better get that straight.
So, but she was raised in the Methodist Church.
Okay.
All the time. And we moved here for work and found that church down there. My wife did. And then one day she explained to me how great it would be if I came to church with her. And then she explained it again. And I did. And I just liked the people there.
So,
they were generous. They were nice. They were welcoming. And I just loved it.
So your background had been a little hodgepodge of this. And you, I think you told me your dad was in the military.
Yes, he was, Air Force.
So you're moving around a lot.
Yep.
And going to different type of churches. So would you say in all of that, that you'd ever really had an experience with Christ?
No.
So you had a little knowledge here, a little knowledge there.
I got baptized in, the First Christian Church was the name of it. But I didn't.
Where was that?
California. I didn't know
really?
What I was doing.
Because you know you have a lot of Christian churches in Kentucky, I know you're from Kentucky.
Yeah. But again, I didn't know really. I did it because somebody wanted me to, and that, you know I didn't do it because the Lord called me. I didn't do it at all.
So when your wife mm-hmm. suggested.
Very well put.
Thank you. What was it you told me before we went on the air? You said she's tired of people thinking she's single.
I can
see that as being a dilemma.
Well,
I mean, somebody might have a misunderstanding about that.
They could.
Yeah. So she says, I want my husband
to go to church
with me.
That's right.
And after how many times did she have to say that?
I'm sure it was just one or two, maybe more, but yes.
So you say, yes, dear.
I sure do.
Which we all know that's the proper thing to say.
Yes, dear. Yes, honey.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
So you went.
I did.
And now, were you at all nervous about that?
I was nervous because, you know, when you go to a church that's different from what you're used to,
uh-huh.
and you don't know what the rules are, you don't know what you can do, just like, you know, Catholic Church. If you're divorced at that, when back then, you couldn't take communion.
Uh-huh.
And then I go to this church and we do communion, and I'm like, I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to or not. But they were so welcoming to me, and I just liked it.
Yeah.
And then we started volunteering for things at the church, and then came the Sunday school day.
Yeah. But before we get to that, let's talk about the process that was taking place in your heart. Your pastor, you're hearing him preach. He's preaching the word. How's that affecting you?
It's affecting me. The pastor at that time did two things. When he presented the message, he was very good at historical things. And he could sort of paint a picture of what was going on in what he was preaching about.
Okay.
And at first, sounds terrible, but I went home and fact-checked him.
You know? That's all right.
And I found out that he was totally correct. Yeah. And then I started talking to him about the historical church, and I liked it. And then the pastor that really made me move the most would be, we had a pastor, Susie Horner, was her name. And two things that she did. One thing is that she got sick one day right as service was supposed to start.
Oh, wow.
And she says, can you do this? Here's all my notes and everything. And I'm like, sure.
Okay. Now we're talking Sunday school.
No, we're talking church.
Oh.
Right there. There's nobody else there. And they're like, they're all looking at me. And I'm like, I can do this. I can do this, God.
Now, how long had you been attending by that time?
Maybe 2 years.
Okay, so 2 years.
Yep.
You are a layperson in the pews. You're coming. You're learning. You're growing. You come to the place where now you're accepting.
And I've started doing the Sunday school too. I've started doing that now. Okay. We're in the process of that.
All right, so by this time you were already doing Sunday school?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was already doing Sunday school.
All right, now go.
So she gives me this thing, and I'm trying to read her notes to do this, and finally I just closed the book and I said, I can't do this.
Right.
I said, let's talk.
Okay.
And the message that she gave, I can remember this, it was the outline of it was, don't sweat the small stuff in life.
All right.
You know, God's going to take it. Give him the big stuff.
Yeah,
give it to him. And the small stuff, it's probably, you don't need to worry about it at all anyway.
Okay.
And that was the message for it. And I found right then and there, I just felt like this was meant to happen. And it did. And I loved it.
So the small stuff was something you probably already had, maybe had come to that conclusion.
Sure.
So preaching it was not hard at all.
Not hard at all.
Because it was something that, and God knew that.
Yep.
He orchestrated that whole thing.
Yep. He's sneaky like that. You know, he is.
Okay, now. So that was your first experience.
That was it. That was the first one.
And that kind of told you that, hey, I can do this.
Yep.
That's a wonderful thing.
And you know what's funny? When you're preaching and you get these, I'll say, you do a sermon.
Right.
And you watch out, you look at the people in there and you can sometimes you can see who it's getting to.
Right.
Or you can see who looks bored. You know, I mean, it happens.
Who's asleep,
right? And then I started to realize that sometimes the messages, when I got through with it, I thought to myself, that wasn't a very good message. Uh-huh. And then I'm talking to people as they're leaving church and somebody comes up and says, my God, that message was meant for me, wasn't
it? Amazing?
And I'm thinking to myself, and then other times, I'm amazed that happened.
Yeah.
And they would do that, and I'm just like, you know, and I will write a sermon, I will put a lot of work into it, and Sunday morning when I'm standing up there, I will close the book and I'll say, this isn't going to work, and let's just do this.
Well, see, the thing about it is that when we learn that it's God speaking through us.
Sure.
And That's which is what we call the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You just pray that the Holy Spirit would just flow through you. And when that happens, God has words.
He gives them to me.
And when if you go back and listen to a recording of it, you say, I don't remember saying that. But but God, he does. And that's to me, when I feel like I'm in that flow, then that's to me, that's the most joyful thing. But I've been on the other side of it too.
Yep.
Where I'm just struggling here.
Yeah.
and if you just tell the congregation, look, I'm just going to go home. they don't really understand that.
No, they don't.
So sometimes, but you always have this confidence too. Mm-hmm. Scripture says that the word will not return void. even though we don't feel like it was really all that good,
it
maybe
was meant for somebody.
Yeah, yeah. It's still the word, right. And the word's going forth, and the word is the seed, and the seed will bring fruit in its season. Yeah,
I tell you, John 1:1-4.
Okay.
It's like I always have them here. I have three verses, but right. That one in particular, just because God said the word. The word was God.
Right.
The word is good. It's how can you not? I look at the Bible,
right.
And it's like poetry to me.
It really is.
It, especially if King James Version,
yeah.
Whether you like them or not, yeah. Or some of the words, but you know, and these are my three. I keep them always.
Okay.
Three verses, you know, and John 1:1-4 is just about that. He spoke the word. The word was with God, and God
the word
was the word.
Was God.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
And how can you not,
right.
not get that?
And what are the other two? So I'm giving you the opening.
Okay. Isaiah 41:10.
Okay.
Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee.
Hallelujah.
I will help thee, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
Right.
And the last one is, at church, we've been going through this thing about John 3:16.
Okay.
You know, and every football game, everything in the world, they
right,
got that.
Right.
I said, I would like to see people start putting John 3:16 and 17.
Uh-huh.
Because not only did God, through love, give us his son, but Jesus came here not to condemn the world, but to redeem us.
Right.
And we forget about that sometimes, that he's here to redeem everybody.
Right. That's
you
got to
help him, you know?
But so those are your three.
Those are my three gut. Those are my goat. Those are things I just, I read them. I can read them over and over and over, and I can right. think of new things about them each time I read them.
Right.
But the Isaiah, my brother passed away, and I was having a hard time. And somehow or another, I read that scripture, and it was right because I needed strength.
Right,
and
right.
he gave it to me.
Okay, so now. You've come to that place now.
Yep.
Your wife has suggested that she needs her husband to go to church with her. You
right.
go, you find out, hey, this is okay.
Yep.
And now you begin to feel comfortable.
Absolutely.
And am I right to say that you begin to feel a sense of calling?
Yes.
That God's beginning to speak to you about being in some type of leadership here?
Yes, I did.
But you say, well, I don't know that I want to go off to Bible college.
Correct.
Which some people do.
I know.
In fact, my neighbor that lived across the street from us,
right.
he was in his middle 40s.
Right.
And he went over here to Graceville. I'd see him get up early in the morning on Saturday morning and drive over there. And some people do that.
Right.
But some find other ways to serve. And thank God for that. Because like I said, in the church today, especially in smaller churches,
right.
we don't have as many coming out of the seminaries and Bible colleges. As a matter of fact, I read something not too long ago that we're closing Bible colleges in America at an alarming rate.
Yep.
And in my organization, the Open Bible Churches, we've closed 5 of them, and we have none now.
Right.
So, but we do have a program called InStay, which is now become a Bible college. It's all online. And most of the pastors that we're putting in churches now are coming out of that. Because a guy who's at an older age, he's got a family, he's got responsibilities. It's not always easy to just leave that and go off to Bible college like when you were young. So,
true.
So, and then also, a guy like yourself, you'd been managing Circle K's and all the other things that you told me about, Bath and Beyond.
Yep.
And I mean, you had managerial experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's part of pastoring.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, you studying the word and learning the word is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're running a church, and I say running a church, I use that intentionally because I know it's God's church, but it is a business.
Yes, it is.
And you are managing people. And
yes, we try.
Well, right. You know how it is.
I do.
People are people. I mean, you have to deal with it, whatever
right.
it is. And if you have been managing employees at a Circle K, you've learned how to deal with people. Because,
yes.
And you've learned how to deal with employees because sometimes people get difficult. People get their feelings hurt. Well, guess what? That happens in church too.
It sure does. It sure does.
Yeah.
More often than we'd like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So you had that background already.
Yep.
And now that you're in church, I'm assuming that you became a student of the word.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, you know, we talk about the Bible and I tell everybody that when we'll talk about things, and I'll say, this book, I said, historical.
Right.
I mean, the things that you can find in there about history and things that happened, it's amazing. And I said, and a guide to life.
Yeah. Whatever you're dealing with, there's answers in that book.
It's in there for that. And, you know, it's just amazing. Yeah. And I would be the first to tell you that I know people, and I know a lot of people that can quote me verse, chapter, scripture for different things, some things that I may have to look up to do. But I find it sometimes that that's almost better, because when I read that scripture for the first time of whatever it is, sometimes it just comes over me.
And isn't it cool that when you've read a scripture that you've read 100 times, and when you go back, God shows you something different.
And you're like, wow, where did that come from? Did somebody rewrite this?
Last Sunday, I've been in 2 Samuel.
Right.
And I've kind of started 1 Samuel, started talking about Saul, and now we're talking about David.
Right.
But I come to the passage about Amnon and Tamar. Huh. I have skipped over that time and time again, going through that. Just didn't give much to it. And all of a sudden I said, hey, I'm missing something here. And it was a great sermon.
Yeah.
And because there's a story there.
Yes,
and
there is.
So, but how many times have I read that and it didn't register to me that this is, we'll stay here for a while and explore this. Well, so many times in scripture, and sometimes it's the scripture that you need for that day.
True.
You know, whatever it is, it's happening in your life. And I'm a daily Bible reader. And so every day as I'm going through my readings, God shows me something. And, and to me, that's just how glorious it is. But it is the book of truth. It tells the whole truth. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't leave stuff out.
He does not lie.
No.
No, he does not.
No. And then there's just nuggets. I love finding the nuggets.
Isn't it just wonderful, though? I just, sometimes I just, it's hard to, sometimes when I'm preaching, and I find I'll do my sermon, but I won't see the nugget yet.
Uh-huh.
And then right in the middle of preaching, I'm like, there it is.
There it is.
There's the nugget.
Yeah, it just jumps out at you.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're like, wait a minute.
Do you use the same sermon in both churches?
I do, but they're never the same.
I understand. I do understand.
We have some people that go to both churches, and John and Judy, but they will go to both churches, and they say, but it was different.
Uh-huh. I'm like, now, why do they do that?
They're from Maine. They come down here, you know, and they walk the bike trail.
Okay.
And which both churches are on that bike trail.
Right.
And they will just do it sometimes. And
so they'll walk from...
They'll go to church at our place sometimes when the weather's nice.
Our place meaning Wakulla.
Wakulla, the original church.
Right.
They'll go there, listen to the sermon, and then they will walk.
How far is that?
6 miles.
They walk... And they get there on time.
No, they ride bikes too.
But
that's all they do, go up and down the thing. You know? And they'll be a little bit late, but they always catch the sermon. They know what it is, you know. And it is. It's the same title. It's the same scripture. And everything's the same. But
I understand.
Darn if it just does not turn out the same at all.
I do understand that. I used to do this for a while at the building where we're at right now.
Right.
When my congregation was meeting here, I would have a early morning service that was contemporary.
Okay.
And they liked a lot of music and a lot of worship. So the service, the message would be condensed.
Okay.
But in the next service, we'd sing a few hymns. And that didn't take very much time. So I got 45 minutes to fill up here. And I can do it. same sermon.
Yep.
Yeah. And now, because I'm doing a daily broadcast, so I preach my sermon at Freedom Road, the church I pastor.
Okay.
And then I come to the studio here. And I chop it up in 5 pieces.
Okay.
And then I turn around and do the whole thing again for 30 minutes here behind this microphone. And by the time I get the third time, I feel like I'm getting it now.
You don't even need the notes then, do you?
Yeah. But I admire these people. And I had people in my church when I was doing the 2 services.
Right.
I had people who would come to both services because they said, Pastor, we just want to support you. Mm-hmm. And he'd always tell me, you added a few things. But then again, when I'm going from maybe a 20-minute sermon to a 45-minute sermon, you're going to add a few.
And sometimes you're just going through that. And like I said, about seeing that person in the pew that looks like, they need this.
Yeah.
And it
that's just, the Holy Spirit.
It just comes out that way. Yeah. Exactly.
You are tuned to the Gospel on the Radio Talk Show. Pastor Steve Montgomery is my guest today. He is pastoring both Wakulla Methodist and Woodville Methodist.
Absolutely.
And of course, I'm Pastor Jack King. I'm your host. I get to do this every Sunday morning. And of course, you know, Pastor King loves Southern gospel music. I got to share one with you. Jonathan Wilburn.
He lifted my burden.
That's Jonathan Wilburn. He lifted my burdens. He took them away. Now, I've got to tell you something here. I tell this to the audience that listens to the Saturday Night Gospel singer. Sure. He layers his music. Of course, he does it all.
Right.
And, of course, nowadays with the computers, they can do that sort of thing. Now, on this album, he's called Jonathan Wilburn, but it's, on the other ones, you'll see it Wilburn and Wilburn. And the other Wilburn was his son. And his son decided he needed to go do other things. And so it just became Jonathan Wilburn. And I saw him out of the Lighthouse Children's Home when he was out there. And I asked him that question. He said, yeah, that's what's happened. So he'll travel with a piano player. And then he'll come do those concerts. Beautiful voice. Right. Very, very talented. But he does a lot of work on that computer. It's just amazing.
It's amazing to me.
Let me remind you now, you want to join me on Saturday nights right here on 94.1 for the Saturday Night Gospel Sing. It's a full hour of the best music in the land. Southern gospel style, a little bluegrass mixed in there. I just have a great time doing that show and love it so very much. I always tell people, I say, come and bring a few friends and we'll have a good time. That's a Saturday night here on 94.1. For the Saturday Night Gospel Singing. Also, Monday through Friday, I do the Gospel on the Radio broadcast. And that's a daily Bible teaching of the Word of God at 11 o'clock here on 94.1. We'll make sure you're aware of that. Also, you can find these broadcasts, the music show and the daily broadcast, on podcast. And all you have to do is type in Pastor Jack King, Tallahassee, and it'll come up, and you'll find all kinds of content there. And if you're looking for this show, you want to share it with a friend or whatever, it's 1,172. And the only thing you won't have on that particular broadcast, you won't have the music. It'll be taken out, but you'll get all the content. And I've got interviews with all kinds of folks on there. I tell people, if you're going on a trip and you want to listen to something, you can tune in to the Gospel on the Radio broadcast or the Gospel on the radio talk show, and you will not run out of content before you get to where you're going and back. There's lots of shows there. Like I say, 1,172 shows. That's enough to keep you going for a while.
That's a lot.
And also, I'm the pastor of Freedom Road Christian Ministry, 720 Capitol Circle Northeast. We're over between Easterwood Drive and Park Avenue. So if you're on Capitol Circle, head toward Park Avenue. Look for us on the right-hand side of the road. You'll see our sign out there on Sunday morning, frcm.us, if you want to check our website out. And we're in the process of redoing that. And so that kind of brings you up to speed with all of that. Now, Brother Steve, what time do you start? You know, you're at Wakulla first.
11 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Wakulla United Methodist, their first service is 10 o'clock.
And how long does it last?
Hour.
An hour.
Yeah, about an hour.
And then you're on the road.
And I'm on the road, and it's 6 miles difference, so usually I get out of there about right at 11, and I'm down there in time to start at 11:15.
And is that the start time?
Yep, and they are ready to roll. I walk in the door, and there's already somebody. Come on now.
Now, did they change it? Or has this kind of been a tradition where they...
Well, they changed theirs to the 11:15 because of the drive time. There's just no way we could do that. But that's the change they made when we first started this.
Yeah, because we started ours at 11:05. And people ask me, why did you do that? Well, it used to be that my son-in-law was our music person, and he did the sound for Trinity Methodist Church downtown.
Right.
And he needed that extra 5 minutes
to get here.
And now he's moved on, and he's up in Thomasville working at a church. But I said, well, why do you keep it? I guess because it's on the door, and I don't want to have to change the door. So 11:05.
Ours is on the sign.
Yeah. And I don't mind that at all because it gives me a little extra time to do whatever I need to do, get prepared for the service.
Sure.
And so anyway, we do what we got to do.
Absolutely.
Now, do you ever, get delayed and something happens?
It sure does. Things do happen all the time. You know that? But the people at Woodville are really good. They've got good support.
Yes.
And they will start
right
without me. And if they have to.
You've got a lot of musicians in that church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. when we go down to the sing down there, you got a violin.
Fiddle player.
Fiddle.
Fiddle bridges.
Man, he can play that.
He sure can. He plays that. He plays the mandolin too.
Yeah, yeah.
And we kid him all the time. And I'm like, you know, can't you find another band you can be in? You know.
Now the guy that playing the guitar last Sunday, is he a part of your church too?
No, he's not. But he has been coming there with David, the fiddle okay. bridges, forever and ever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
And they just he always comes. And he's quite the. He likes to talk, maybe as much as I do. I don't know if that's possible, but he likes to talk. But
if you run a little late, you just put your fiddle player up there and let him go to work, and they won't be as antsy about you getting there.
No, they won't, and we've thought about that too.
Right.
And but it works out so far so good.
Yeah.
And then we make special allowances like homecoming at the Wakulla Church.
Uh-huh.
Somebody else will preach at Woodville that day.
Okay.
Because I can't stay and visit and fellowship.
Sure,
and,
sure.
You know, I need to. And then homecoming at the Woodville Church is the 5th of May, and I'll arrange to leave early at the other. I just make sure I got plenty of time.
Yeah.
You know, to
but
do
now,
that.
As far as supply, does the organization do that, or do you just find somebody, or do they have to be Methodist, or?
Sometimes if you've got the people in your church that are lay speakers and yeah. they're looking for a chance to find what I found.
Yeah.
Hopefully, then we try to do that. And we also have, there's retired pastors and things that would just want to work that one Sunday.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We call them and see if they're available. And
right.
if they are, then they come.
Right.
And we take it from there.
Now, when you first started at the Woodville Church, okay, you've been to Wakulla.
Yeah.
And now this is a new congregation. How'd that go for you in the beginning?
Different.
Okay.
Really. Every church, they do things the way they do them.
Okay.
Sometimes they do them and you ask them why and it's because that's what we do.
Right. Right.
Right. You know, yeah, so they yeah. do them. Well, at the Woodville, they do things differently.
Okay.
But the fact is that they were friendly and I didn't need anything more than that.
Okay.
That's right there because it actually felt really good that first day. Nervous.
Yeah.
But, you know, about what their expectations are going to be because they had never, a couple of their people that are in their church, that go there, the members had heard me down at the other church. So they were going, the people that what they call the SPR, that's the pastors and employees, the relations, they said, okay, we'll do this. And without having heard me speak.
Ah.
I came to a meeting and I got, you know, the DS gave me good references and those other people said, yeah, great job. And I can't even remember what the first sermon that day that I came there was about, but, it was in October.
Uh-huh.
It was just after their homecoming.
Okay.
And I started off just by saying, well, I feel like home, you know, and that's it. You know, I don't keep a library of all my old sermons. And things like that, I just don't. Uh-huh. Apparently, you do.
Oh, these are just some of them.
Okay. But what I keep the notes from them. I'm not right. very good. I'll write out a bunch of yeah. things and get them all ready, and I may not use half of it.
But I'll show you what I just picked up here in a few right. minutes.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot of notes there.
Right, right.
But it's the basic outline.
That's the same thing. I do the outline, and,
yeah.
and then there are the times that I just fold it up and say, no, I'm
yeah,
just going to
yeah,
do without
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
But that's what I try to do.
Yeah.
And I can't seem to run out of topics.
No, because it's a big book.
It is really
our
big.
Our textbook is very large.
It is really
yeah.
big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, as far as, when you go on a Sunday morning
mm-hmm.
and you're there and you've prepared your message, you've already told us that you preach the same sermon, but it's not the same.
It's never the same. Yeah.
You walk in. And then there's just something. The Holy Spirit's just saying something.
Sometimes, yeah.
And maybe the sermon that you did, that you preached at Wakulla, you said, that's not it.
Right.
And so, ever been those times when you've just gone up there and said, God, I don't know what you're saying something. You have something to say to this congregation. Will you help me?
And they're getting used to a couple of things, especially at Woodville, but Wakulla's already used to it, is that when I do that, and I'll get to a point and I'll just pause for a minute and I'll be like, let's talk.
Uh-huh.
And I'll just shut my notes.
Yeah.
Because that just means I'm going off script, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
And the same thing happens. But what I have to do is if I don't have 5 or 7 minutes or so to just sit and breathe before I even think about starting the service. I have to do that. Because I can't, my mind's too busy with all the other stuff that I don't want to worry about now.
Yeah, and when you get to the church, there's usually somebody there with a question or something. And I've tried to instruct my congregation, if you've got a gripe, let's do this after church. Do not come and lay that on me before I'm to go to the pulpit. Right. I think I've pretty much got them to understand that. But sometimes you get astray that doesn't understand.
Well, at each church we have people that, we won't say their names, but they sort of head people off.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? And they'll fill me in on what's going on, so I'll know after the service I need to talk to that person.
Now, what about the government of the church? I mean, you've got two churches here. Are you involved in that, or is that pretty much lay-led?
I am involved. I attend the council meetings.
Okay.
I am required to be certain things. I'm required to be on the trustees. That's the care of the building and the grounds and stuff like that, because just to make sure that we are taking care of God's house.
Sure.
You know, that's what I'm required. And also required to be on a committee that we appoint people or try to get people to fill leadership positions.
Okay.
So I'm required to do those, but I'm also on those others as just a listening, you know, and advice if they want it or whatever. But I don't have a vote in what goes on with it. I
can only make voice, but no vote.
Yeah. That's right. I can make recommendations and things, and they may ask me, but I don't have a vote.
Now, what about visitation, hospital calls? You're doing that for both congregations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
How's that work?
I mean, slow at the Woodville one.
Right.
Slow at the Woodville one, but the other one rolling pretty good. But then there's, to be honest with you, there have been so many people that have been in the hospital and sick and things like that. It's hard to get in the other home visitation to do it when you do the same time.
Now, most of the people, when they're sick, they're going to Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
So where you're at down there? There really isn't anything else. I think in St. Joe, but that's still a pretty good ways from where you are there.
Yeah.
So most people will go to either one of the two hospitals.
That's correct.
And so that makes it a little easier for you.
It does.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, the pastor in Largo, and there's big hospitals all over the place. He spent a whole day just going around to these different hospitals. And I tell him, I said, well, I'm about a mile from TMH.
There you go.
You know, something happened in our church. This is years ago. We were having some sickness in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my elders, I remember it was a Sunday night, he said, Pastor, can I just speak for a moment? And he said, I feel like that this is just an attack of the enemy. And he said, I want us to pray and bind this. And you know what? After that, I hardly ever went to the hospital.
Wow.
You know, I'd have older people that would eventually die.
Sure.
But just didn't. It just stopped. And to me, that's just the glory of God.
Oh, sure it is.
Because he has the power to do all things.
Tell me. Yeah. He does.
And that was just it was a really powerful service after we did that. We really prayed hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one lady in our church that on a Wednesday night, we had a business meeting. And we only have one once a year. And so she came to me. She said, after the business meeting, I need to talk to the congregation. And she was highly respected, and I would give her that authority to do that. And she shares that she has a brain tumor. And she's going down to Shands tomorrow. They're going to find out what they're going to do, that sort of thing. Man, I'm telling you what. We prayed. Glory came down. I mean, the Spirit of God. We were in that back room back in this building.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a powerful, powerful. We felt the power of God. She goes down to Shands the next day. They run through a bunch of tests, and they come back, and they said, why are you here?
Oops.
And now, you can't tell me that the doctors at TMH were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was something there, but I believe that God touched her.
Yeah.
And, man, I tell you what, we live for those type of moments.
Do you find it's hard? I find it hard sometimes, and we talked about it in a sermon just recently about our expectation of miracles, when you see all these things on movies and the things that happen in the Bible, we set this bar so high up, but yet we refuse to look around you and see miracles that happen all the time.
That's right.
And it just, it, well, it's
he,
just
a, he says, I am the same yesterday,
yep,
today, is forever. He doesn't change. We change.
That's right.
And you're right. We change in our expectations of prayer, mm-hmm. and what can God do? And we're the ones that put the limitations on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
It's up to us to just forget that.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's like when I tell people about putting things in God's, just give it up.
Yeah.
You know, why do you want to carry that?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's too heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, Christ carried it for everybody, and that was amazing to begin with. And and now you want to carry it again?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it's true. And it actually, the fault lies on us.
It does.
Because we don't always understand what God is, what He wants to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times we carry these burdens that we don't really need to carry.
That's for sure.
My wife told me something that she got in some way. It wasn't an original story with her, but she's talking about a person who had this little wagon, and God told him, he said, I want you to take that wagon up to the top of the mountain. And so he starts off, and these people come and say, you know, why are you going up there? Would you mind if I put this in the wagon, you can take it up the hill? And as he goes along, more people are coming and putting more on the wagon.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, he gets up to the top of the hill, and he's sweating, and he's maybe fussing at God. And God says, look, I didn't tell you to bring all these birds. I just told you to take the wagon.
Yep.
And she told me that. I said, boy, does that ever speak to me.
Thank you. I'm right there with you, too.
Because I am really bad.
That's that just say no thing. That,
right.
They told
me
they're going to get a T-shirt for me that says, just say no, Pastor. You know.
So now you're in your 60s now, and you've actually been pastoring for 4 years.
Yep.
Do you feel like you've been doing this all your life?
I feel like I should have been doing it all my life. That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
Because I think of all the moments sometimes in my life that I should have listened.
Uh-huh.
And if I had, I guess I should have just met my wife a long time before, then that's all it was. But I feel that way.
Was there ever a time further back when you felt like there was a call that maybe you should have responded to?
I think what there was a, I wouldn't even, I'd say a nug, uh-huh. a nudge there, like
right,
pulling
right,
at me, like,
right.
You know, like you could do something with this,
yeah.
You know, but I disregarded it.
Right.
Just because at the time, okay, I'm starting a family. I got kids. I got
sure,
a job.
Absolutely.
How am I supposed to do this
yeah.
and do that? So I just dismissed it.
Okay. Now talk to that person that's out there listening to this broadcast about what you feel about that. I mean, in other words, you feel like somebody's out there. They're in their 40s, and they're starting to feel like maybe God's called them to the ministry. What do you say to them?
I would tell them to, first I tell them when you pray, I would ask them, I said, when you pray, I said, do you listen for an answer?
Ah.
I said, or you just keep praying?
Uh-huh.
He said, well, I don't think God answers me. I said, you don't think He answers uh-huh. you. And then I would just tell them, I said, perhaps you're just not very good at listening.
And sometimes the silence, you got to have that time of silence. Like mm-hmm. you say, listening. Yeah.
Yeah. Listening skills are great. And I would tell them, I'd say, don't ignore it. At least you owe it to yourself, and possibly you owe it to a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. If you would just at least entertain the thought, pick up your Bible, pick it and just pick a book. Take your choice. Just read it.
Uh-huh.
I could have a few scriptures that I could recommend, but I would just read it.
Yeah.
And read it with no expectation.
Okay.
Just read it. And then come talk to me and let's see how you feel.
Yeah, that's good counsel.
You know,
yeah.
Because after you do that, and if you feel something, and then you feel that more powerful pull.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I always say pull because I tell them, God's not going to push you through the door
no.
because you might be afraid.
Right.
He doesn't want that. He's going to pull you through the door and lead you through
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And that's important because yeah. He's not just going to throw you out there on your own.
Well, one of the things that I think people fear is that I don't want to be out of the will of God. So God, is this you or is this me?
Mm.
And we all have struggled with that. I told you some of my testimony about why I'm doing radio.
Sure.
I struggled with that. I said, I don't want this to be about me. But I certainly do not want to be out of the will of God, whatever that is.
Yeah, and I wonder too. I talk to people. I wonder about when somebody says, you know, like the thing you made a comment about, that's Steve's church or like Pastor right. Jack's church, you know, and that doesn't bother me, except I'm like, don't come to church for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, you come to church for
right.
God.
And right.
maybe I can help you figure out how those messages fit in today's world. I'm not going to change the message, but maybe I can give you different eyes to look at it so you understand how it fits in your life right now.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing is people get afraid and they do. And people are afraid. It's a real thing when they say they're too afraid to go to church for all the things that they've done, you know? And they feel like that. And I'm just like, you know, give me a break.
That makes me so sad.
It does.
When I hear that.
And the fact that they think that we're not going to welcome them.
Yeah.
There used to be a billboard sign. You live here forever. When we first moved down here, Capitol Circle, north or on the west, east side of town, as you're going up before you actually hit into the, more like around Southwood and before you get to Appalachia Parkway, there used to be a great big billboard up there and it says such and such church. Sinners, welcome.
I remember that.
In great big letters. Yeah. And I thought that's one of the, that was right about the time that I was sort of struggling with this a little bit.
Yeah.
And it just makes sense. And said, you know, I tell people, I said, well, you're not going to have any more problems than anybody else in here doesn't have already. So come on down.
You have to know about the mercy of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yes, we've all sinned. Scripture tells us, come short of the glory of God.
We always do.
But he tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But yet there are people, and you know them and I know them, that they think they're beyond
help.
What they've done, there's no mercy.
You know?
And if you have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you're good to go.
Exactly.
If you bring your burdens and your sins and confess them, he will. He's all about mercy.
You know, we talk about that all the time. I said, you know, God's still going to make you. Yeah. He's not going to wipe away if you've cheated on your taxes and you're going to jail. He doesn't have a get out of jail free card.
No.
But he's going to walk you through how to keep this from destroying you.
Right.
And that's what's important.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It's mercy.
It is. It is amazing too.
Yeah. I was telling you about preaching about the story of David.
And, yes.
You know, when Nathan the prophet came to him.
Right.
One of the first things he told him, it might have been before or after, he told him the sword would not depart from your house, but he said, God has put away your sin, and you are forgiven. And the man had committed adultery and murder.
Yep,
those are two pretty heavy charges. but here, David, he hadn't even asked for forgiveness, but the love of God and the mercy of God. And that's the thing that you have to know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're out there and you're away from church, maybe you were churched in your background, but you've got away and you say, "Oh, I've done some terrible things." God has mercy is extended to you. The Holy Spirit speaking to you. Ask him to forgive you. He'll come and come get back to church. We need to be back in church.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the thing about it is that there's a lot of small churches like yours, like mine. You go to one of those churches and they're just going to love on you.
That's it.
That's just the way Christians are.
That's right.
You just go and you just get loved on them. And if it's your church, they're going to want to feed you. I know.
That's right. We like to eat now. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, look, just don't stay out.
Yeah.
I'm talking to somebody out there now.
Somebody needs to hear it too.
Yeah. Don't stay out.
Right.
Come on back. Find a church. Somewhere.
And whatever you did, whatever. You can talk to God and we'll help you.
Yeah.
You know? And that's it. You just take it.
And a lot of people, it seems to be like it used to be that the churches were hung up a whole lot more on organization and doctrine than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're coming to the point to where people just need to come to Jesus and understand he loves you. He loves you just like you are.
Yep.
And just come. If you come to Woodville or we'll call it either one, Pastor Steve's probably going to be there to greet you when you get there.
Daggone right. We sure will.
Now, are you one of the preachers that at the end of the service, you walk down the aisle during the hymn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're old school.
I do. Walk down the aisle talking. And, you know, I do it a lot of times because I want to make sure the people in the back pews don't get out of there before I get to say.
Yeah, get a chance to greet them.
But I walk down there and whatever comes to me, it just does, you know, and then they'll, just do.
Well, we have a saying at the end of a service. It's a to the harvest.
Okay.
And I have another lady. She always liked to beat me. And I say,
that's good.
So I said, I got you today, Sister Wanda. But, you know, that's just something we do.
Yeah.
But I'm usually doing that at the back of the auditorium because I ask somebody to pray.
Right.
And then I walk down the auditorium or down the aisle. And then I'm there to greet the people.
Right.
And I say, because you're right. Somebody, if I stay up in the front, somebody will come and start talking to me, and the congregation will leave, and that may be the only chance that week that I get a chance to greet them.
And if somebody there heard the message and they wanted to tell you that they heard you loud and clear, for whatever reason was, you missed that opportunity.
Right, right, right. And it's sometimes important. A little counseling goes on.
That's correct. That's true.
Back there at that back door.
Yeah.
Okay. Woodville United Methodist Church.
Yep.
You're right off the bike path.
We are on Old Woodville Highway, right behind the Baptist Church.
That's what I always say. Go down the Woodville Highway until you see the Baptist Church.
Turn
take
right.
a right. And when you come to the end of that road, look to your left.
That's
see
it. That's it.
Beautiful.
Yes, it is.
Beautiful church facility.
And that thing burnt to the ground several years ago, and they rebuilt it. It's beautiful.
That's amazing.
They've done a great thing.
Now, I don't know anything about the Wakulla Methodist Church.
Well, first of all, how do you get there? Find it, you can go all the way down. There's a place, there's a little restaurant when you get close to Wakulla Station, and it's the Castnet.
Okay.
And just past it is Savannah's Country Buffet.
Okay.
We are behind those on Woodville Highway, Old Woodville Highway. So you can just turn right on Methodist Lane. I know. Turn right on Methodist Lane. Come to the end. You look to your left, and you'll see it. And it's a log cabin church.
Really?
Yep. It's about 25 years old, and it's
a log cabin church.
Yep. Built it about 25 years ago.
So you won't see it from the highway.
No. You have to go into the thing.
You turn at Savannah's and go behind it.
Yep. Go behind it.
See, I'm glad you told me that, because I'd have gone looking and not there.
Or you can just any of those roads that go down that side, you can get on Old Woodville Highway. Yeah. Or if you're at the Woodville Church, just go straight south, and it's on the same road.
10 o'clock
at Wakulla.
11:15
at Woodville.
At Woodville.
And then every second Sunday, the Sing.
Yes.
6 o'clock.
Yes. And do you have websites for either one of these?
I don't have websites. We have Facebook. We're on that. And you can just look us up. If you do it, it'll pop up to the Methodist page, and all about us and about the Facebook and all the churches in the area, too. So,
all right. Well, we always close the broadcast out with prayer. And Father God, I'm so thankful that we've had this conversation with Brother Steve today. And I pray, God, that you would just bless him as he continues to minister to you in both of these churches and all that he does. I thank you, Father, for his calling on his life. And I pray, Father God, there would be much fruit from his work and labor there at those two churches, both in Woodville and at Wakulla. And Father God, I pray over each and every one who's heard this broadcast today. Father, if there be one outside of faith, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit would go to them, speak to them, Father. Bring them to faith. Father, we pray over our nation. We pray, God, for peace in this world. And I pray for peace in America. And Father God, I pray for peace in the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
But Steve, thank you so much for coming and being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I do appreciate it.
I enjoyed having you here, and I enjoyed the conversation.
I love the conversation. Amen. Absolutely.
And until next Sunday morning,
all right.
May the Lord bless you.